Good morning.
Welcome to the Sunday Morning Adult Discussion Group here at Williams Christian Fellowship. Today we are going to be in Matthew chapter 13, and I think we had decided last week, or at least I put it out there, and if you all are willing, I'd kind of like to go over in the parable that Jesus was telling about the sower and the seed. First he told the story, and then later on he explained it to the disciples. So I'd kind of like to switch forward and back from the first group where the seed was sown to the explanation about why the first group, you know, what happened there in the hearts of men. And so how about, let's just start reading. Whoever's going to read today.
It's my turn.
Read. Is it your turn?
Yep.
Okay. Let's start with Matthew chapter 3 and just read 3 and 4. And then Brenda, would you read, after he's done, the explanation that will be in 13 verse 19. Okay.
He's going to do chapter 12, what?
Chapter 13, verse 3 and 4.
Okay.
And you're going to come back with verse 19, maybe a little further, I'm not sure.
19
and
what?
Matthew 13:19. Just 19. Okay, so, buddy, you're just going to read 3 and 4.
Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We give you all praise, all glory, all honor. Thank you for your mercies, Father, for they are great. Thank you for blessing this study group. May your presence be with us in this group and in the main sanctuary. Father, just bless this day and have your way in our hearts. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts to receive. We ask it all in Jesus' name. We're in Matthew chapter 13,
right.
Verse 3. So
yes,
I will read
3 and 4.
3 and 4.
Yes.
He told them many things in parables, stories by way of illustration and comparisons, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell by the roadside, and the birds came and ate them up.
Okay, now 19. This
went
along the path.
I'll start with 18.
And the birds came and ate them. Okay, now verse 19.
18 probably. Were 18.
Yeah, 18.
Listen then to the meaning of the parable of the sower.
Uh-huh.
While anyone is hearing the word of the kingdom and does not grasp and comprehend it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the roadside.
Okay.
And then it goes on to all about the rest of it.
We'll get around the next one. Okay, so this is on the beaten path. That's kind of a roadway where a lot of people come and go all day long, right? It's the path. There is a way that leads to destruction. That's the beaten path. So I was kind of interested in the passage translation on verse 19. It said, the seed that fell on the beaten path represents the heart of the one who hears the message, okay, of the kingdom realm. It's not exactly the same way. Here's the message of the kingdom. In the Aramaic, it says, you could be translated, he hears of the manifestation of the kingdom. Kind of interesting, that manifestation. That he's hearing about the manifestation of the kingdom. God. So the seed that fell on the beaten path represents the heart of the one who hears the message. And I was thinking to myself today, there's so much to be said about that. Number one is, I kind of woke up saying, what you see is what you get now, baby. You know that song? What you see, sometimes it's what you choose to look at, but what you see is what you get. So, poor Mike had to hear me sing that on the way to church today. So, it wasn't a pretty thing. But the Bible states that first comes the natural and then comes the spiritual. So, I don't know, that's just the way it's this thing, the word that falls on the beaten path is the, it says, the beaten path represents the heart of the one who hears the message of the manifestation of the kingdom realm. So what do you guys think about that? In the natural and then as opposed to the spiritual.
Well, I will say this, if the seed fell on the beaten path, then when it started to spring up, wouldn't it get trampled down?
That's what it says.
I mean, you know, it would be stepped upon and trampled down, I would say, if it was on the beaten path.
It said that the birds came and ate up up on the beaten path. And that could be like the many cares, the many things that we have in our heart, and then the word has come, but there's not enough root or substance or what, and there's other that really overpower.
But even at that, I can remember times that the love of God, let's put it like that, would fall on me or would catch my mind. Mm-hmm. But the birds are kind of flighty things. And I would say, you know, wow, yeah, that's cool. But then, you know, off I'd go. And many of us have said that God knocked on our door for many, many years. Mm-hmm. And although we heard it, and although we thought about it, we never perceived it. It's very difficult for a natural man to perceive. You probably have to have some maturing before you can even understand the things of God. You know, and when you're young and God is dealing with you, everything else is dealing with you at the same time. So, you know, at least the birds are getting fed at this stage.
What do the birds represent? Since when he puts anything in there, all right, it's talking about that the seed was sown, mm-hmm. and it fell on the roadside, which is talking about, you said the path, the beaten path. And what do the birds represent? But it's all showing conditions of heart, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Within us. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, think about this too, if you're going to talk about birds. You ever heard anybody say, well, you eat like a bird? Mm-hmm. You ever heard, I know you've heard people say that. Mm-hmm. You eat like a bird. Birds are insatiable. They eat constantly. Mm-hmm. They have a really high body temperature. And they have to eat to maintain. They have a real high metabolism rate. You know, you ever hold a bird in your hand, you know, like a parakeet or something like that. Their body is very warm. Well, they have a high body heat and a high metabolism rate, and they eat continuously. You know, so you have to take that into consideration too. If seed was thrown on the path and the birds came and ate it, that meant it was consumed right away, and either you got it or you didn't, you know. You know, either it did what it was supposed to do or it didn't, you know what I mean. So that's just a thought there, you know what I mean.
Yeah, but when people say you eat like a bird, there's meaning it's you eat very little.
You eat very little, you know, but they don't understand that a bird doesn't eat a very little. You know, a bird eats continuously.
It eats little, but continually. You know, small portion.
Well, a lot of people don't realize that birds continuously eat all the time.
Yes,
they're constantly eating. You know?
And they're constantly demanding.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if
because
the first couple of times that the Lord comes to you, if the desires of your heart are insatiable, and if you feed them, they become more and more insatiable, and that could be the reason why there are so many addictions. There are so many things that are eating up, a person's body and their soul and their spirit.
Because they're satisfying their ability with the wrong things.
Absolutely.
I mean, if you were insatiable with the Word of God and His presence and being always so aware of wanting to be with Him and that, well, then it would be different.
Yes.
And that would be feeding the spirit.
Yeah. I can say in my own life that insatiable desire for anything, when I reflect on the Spirit of God within me, all of that, you know, then there is peace. And I don't get those, you know, those feelings. It's an entirely different place to live. Mm-hmm. When you live in the spiritual realm rather than in the realm of the flesh. But sometimes that realm, it's all time. And God's timing is perfect. So we don't want to start judging, you know, the people who aren't ready to hear it yet. Because it's there. It's been placed in there, you know. One or two of those seeds, placed in there.
Remember the song we used to sing, and we don't sing anymore, but we used to sing it. Here's my cup, Lord, I lift it up. Feed me till I want no more, you know. And, you know, when would you not want no more? When you were totally full of God, you know. Well, we haven't quite got there yet, you know, to the realization of that, you know. So, you know, there's a lot of different ways you can look at that scripture, you know what I mean? But I think what he's saying, when he's explaining it to him, he's saying basically when the seed was cast on that ground, you know, something else ate it up before it could grow, you know, totally grow. Because that's what he's saying. Basically, he's saying the birds came and devoured it, and it didn't really spring up, you know what I mean? And because the next, he's talking about the negative aspects of the word, you know, being the seed that you know, fell. Next one is fell on stony ground, I believe, after that one, you know.
Yeah, rocky ground.
Yeah.
It didn't have much soil.
Yeah. And then the next one is where it falls among thorns, you know.
Well, let's go on
to
the stony places.
Uh-huh.
Matthew 13:5.
Uh-huh.
Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they had not much soil. Mm-hmm. Now, once they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they dried up and withered away.
Okay, wow. A lot in there, no root.
Well, 20 it says, and as for that was sown on the thin, rocky soil. Mm-hmm. This is he who hears the word and at once welcomes and accepts it with joy, but yet it has no real root in him. But it's temporary, inconstant, and lasts but a little while. And when affliction or trouble or persecution comes account of the word, and once he is caused to stumble, he is repelled and begins to distrust and desert him. And he ought to trust and obey, and he falls away.
You know, I can almost see this now as a progressive thing. I can remember times in my life where, oh, I mean, the fire of God just got in me, but I was immature. And I can understand, and even this thing about he quickly falls away, for the truth didn't sink deeply into his heart. And that thing about he falls away, here in the footnotes in the Passion Bible says he gets offended or is made to stumble. You know, and that happened for many, many years. Still happens once in a while. We get that word in our heart gladly and we are on top of the world, and then something happens where we stumble. And when we stumble, what do? Even I, not so much anymore, I'm not worthy. I'm just not worthy of this. And then you get discouraged, you get offended, and you just think you're not. And then you go back. You go back to the vomit, like a dog will return to his vomit.
And here it says, and the stumble. Once he is caused to stumble, he is repelled and begins to distrust and desert him whom he ought to trust and obey.
Oh, isn't that good?
So then he falls away.
Yeah. Is it a progressive thing? Anybody?
Don't sit there like you can't open your mouth.
I mean, you guys, you know, what you're saying is good. I mean, it's fine. Yeah.
That's good.
You know, I said this a couple of weeks ago. I can't remember in the context that I said it, but I said, you know, I can remember running across young Christians in a store one time, and this guy was just trying to witness to these people, and he did not have the understanding to be able to witness them. And you know, I don't think you should just be running out and wanting to witness to everybody. I think you should witness to people when God inspires you to witness to somebody.
But no one told him that.
Well, no.
Evidently, no one told
that,
him that.
Well, that's what religion tells you out there.
Yeah.
Get out and do. You know, you got to get out right away and start sharing your testimony.
He had a zeal to want to share, but was not equipped.
Exactly. Well, that's right.
He was
not yet. Right, see. He hadn't built a testimony yet.
No.
You know what I mean?
He
hadn't been tested.
A
testimony is when you've been tested.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of times they send these young kids out, and yeah, you can share your initial experience with Jesus Christ. You know, I was down, you know, and the Lord met me. You know, that's good enough. You don't need to go no farther than that. But Scripture says the children of this generation are wiser in their own, you know, wisdom, basically, than the children of light. That's because the children of light sometimes don't wait until God gives them the understanding to be able to even explain what they're talking about.
And it's sad because,
you know, and then after a while they get the person doubting their own salvation, you know, is what happens, you know. Well, Lord, if I was supposed to witness to people, why did you let that guy really beat me up, you know, verbally, you know? Well, they'll do that to you. But if the Lord has you witness, then it'll never return void. It'll hit the mark when it's supposed to.
I remember one time, oh, years and years ago, there was this old guy. Well, he wasn't old. He was a young guy. He seemed old because he didn't have any teeth. But he was a good old boy. And he worked where I worked. And I was a new Christian. I hadn't been tested.
Yeah.
And he was just always out drinking and carrying on with everybody else. And I had already heard that he went to a revival Baptist Church and he got saved. And the next morning, I mean, you could see it in his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
He came in and he said, looked around for nobody's there. He says, he's giving his testimony to me because he knew that I was a Christian. I was about as far of a Christian as he was. And he said, I got saved Saturday night. And it was almost like he was ticking it off. Okay, she's number three. I've told three, you know. As though, and I'm not disavowing this, this could be true, as though saying it makes it so. You know, he hadn't been tested, you know. And I'm not going to say if he was saved or wasn't saved. I didn't, you know, I pray to God that he has become a very mature and wonderful Christian. But the whole thing kind of embarrassed me because I was sitting there wondering myself, are all these, you know, people in the office going to hear him coming up and telling me he got saved? And I said, boy, I said, I remember when it happened to me, how wonderful it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the thing about it is he needed to let it go at that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior the other night. Let it go at that. You don't have to explain what it all meant and all that, because you don't know what it all means
exactly.
Yet. You do. You just know you had an experience, and that's all you need. That's all you need to say. But the problem is that a lot of these young guys, because they don't know what they're doing, they'll start trying to argue with people, trying to convert them. Well, you can convert nobody. I worked with a guy years ago, and he was the most negative man I ever met in my life. I mean, he was negative. He had a negative slant on everything. The glass was never half full. It was always half empty. You know what I mean. And I shared my testimony about how the Lord had healed me from epilepsy when I was a kid, you know. Well, he didn't really believe in healing. And he didn't, you know, all this kind of stuff. And he was giving me a hard time. Now, I was a pretty young Christian at that point. Well, I should have just let it go, and I did after a while, but I was kind of aggravated and frustrated because it was almost got into a point of an argument, see, and that's where you don't want to go, see, and what ended up happening was I had shared this testimony with him, and this was back in the real early 70s. He was Catholic, and this is when the charismatic movement, what they called the charismatic movement, was coming, passing through the churches. And Catholic people were getting, priests and stuff were getting the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
They sure were.
And the bishops and all that, they didn't know what to do with all that.
Mm-hmm.
They were trying to fight it, you know what I mean, because they hadn't received any of that at that point. And anyway, they were having a big revival thing up in Notre Dame College, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, his wife had terrible feet. I mean, really, really bad feet. You know, she could just barely walk. Well, she went up there and she got healed. Well, then I talked to him another time, and it was a little bit different now, see, because he had seen what the Lord had done.
He knew it was real,
see, because of his wife. Otherwise, you know, when I shared it to him that I had, that God had healed me from the epilepsy, you know, it was like, you know, I don't know, I believe that, you know, that kind of stuff. Well, yeah, and what ended up happening was is he had to actually kind of eat his words, you know what I mean, because the Lord had ministered to his wife. But he was a negative guy. I mean, you know, if you said it was sunny outside, yeah, but there's four clouds up there, it's probably gonna rain, you know. I mean, that was the way he was. It was just, his attitude was always negative, always on the negative side. But some people are just like that, and they're, you know, that kind of person, you're kind of stupid if you try to witness to them too much. But I was a real young Christian then, you know. And what I was sharing with him was something that I had experienced, you know. So it wasn't like I was trying to explain something to him that I didn't know anything about, because I did know what God had done for me, you know, and that kind of thing. But, you know, that's the thing about all of this stuff, is that, you know, when it comes to dealing with people, you know, out in the world, tell them what you know. Don't tell them what you don't know. or try to explain what you don't know. And if there's something you don't know, and they ask you a question or try to pin you in the corner or something, just say, well, you know, I don't know about all that. I'm waiting for the Lord to reveal those things to me. When He reveals them to me, I'll be glad to share them with you. You know, that would be the answer that you should give them, you know, that kind of answer. But, you know.
What is the state that has the, you know how different states have a saying or a different vibe? That I'm from this state. And it's like you have to
show me state and stuff like that.
Yes,
yeah.
Missouri.
Yeah.
Missouri.
Yeah. Do you know? Let me tell you something. You know, there's a separation supposedly of church and state. You know what the motto for Ohio is? Mm-hmm. This is actually Ohio's motto. With God, all things are possible. Mm-hmm. That's the motto of his state. Mm-hmm. Now, you think there's a whole lot of people in the state that don't believe that, but at one time, there was enough people believing it that it could become the motto for the state. You know, so.
Well, this minister, he was a minister, and I think his wife was saved first. Very hungry for the Lord, very open. But he would always say, I'm from, and you have to
Missouri,
show.
I think. I believe it's Missouri.
Say,
I think that's what it is. Show me state or whatever
Missouri,
it is. I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
Show me state.
Show, and she didn't feel that way with God. You didn't. So he had this mindset, you have to show me. So it's like he's not going to believe something until he actually sees it. She was open to God and love the Lord. And did not have that mindset. She was really growing in God and the kindness and the love. Mm-hmm. That was, I'm not going to say their name because he might know who it is. And how she received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then she was, but really sweet spirit and hungry for God. Mm-hmm. And when she was around you, you just felt love from her.
See, I have a marriage license from the state of Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
You know that, you know, I'm actually licensed through the state of Ohio to marry people. And on that certificate that comes from the, I don't know if it comes from Secretary of State or somebody it comes from. I can't remember exactly who. I've got it out in the office out there. But it says, with God all things are possible. Her marriage certificate. I mean, that's their motto, you know.
I'm just used to that.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, but that, and I think what you were saying, we were saying about Missouri, isn't Missouri, this, isn't their animal the donkey? I think it is.
Yeah,
or jackass or something.
Well, probably donkey.
Yeah. Well, that would make sense, and that I won't believe unless I see it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because they're stubborn, you know. So if that's true, but I'm pretty sure that's what it is, you know.
Blessed are ye who have not seen
and believe. That's right.
That's
right. Well, anyway, you know, it's.
What is the logos of the Republicans and Democrats?
Elephants and donkeys.
Elephants and donkeys. Yeah.
The Democrats are the donkeys. I don't know. I'm just simply.
Yes.
Didn't make sense to me. Okay.
Well, they both have bad traits.
Yeah.
Because an elephant never forgets.
Never
forgets. You need to forget sometimes.
Yes.
You need to forget and move on.
Yeah.
And donkeys.
Donkeys are stubborn.
Stubborn. You know. So you know. That's, neither one of those are good. That's mass. Especially good attribute, you know, can be a good attribute.
Is to be forgiving. People say, I'll forgive, I'll never forget. Well, you haven't really forgiven, because when you actually forgive,
right,
there is a forgetting, because with God, He don't know what we're talking
right.
about. He's
right.
already forgiven us, and we come back with something. What are you talking about? I already forgave you for that. And it's as far as the East is from the West. And I know it for a fact, because I've had experience with someone that God has said, I may come and I wouldn't have nothing to do with them if it wasn't for their children who I care about. And God said, oh, yes, you will. Yes, you will. The because I love her and I want you to love her. But it takes it only through God.
Takes the Spirit of God, yeah.
Oh, we can't do it. And I mean, I can be around the person and still they'll say, there's a forgiveness I have. It's like when it's in love covers a multitude of, it does.
Right.
It really does. And so you can't love and forget in God if He's done it in you.
What did you have on that, Kathy? Over there on that.
On what?
On the last one we just talked
about. Oh, okay. Yeah, it was good. The seed sown on gravel represents the person who gladly hears the kingdom message, but his experience remains shallow. Shortly after he hears it, I'm trying to figure out if I'm doing the wrong one. 19 is 1. Okay. This is 2. Yeah. Okay. Sorry, guys. Oh, I don't know how I got to 14. But shortly after he hears it, the troubles and persecutions come because of the kingdom message he received. Then he quickly falls away, for the truth did not sink deeply into his heart. And even in the King James, I love the way it said that, because it has something to do with when the sun came up, the little seedlings died because they had insufficient roots. And that reminds me of God said, I'm a tree. And the tree, you know, the roots go down deep. And down deep is where the water is. The water of the washing. And, you know, if we're going to live, then we have to go in. What's that one about where the two trees are on the side of the, and they feed, each feed the church.
Well, yeah, that's the scripture I just shared last week.
Yes.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That water comes from those roots.
But
we have to have the root.
That they're pouring oil out of the trees into the church.
Yeah.
The candlestick, which is the church, you know, out of the church. But also in Revelations, there was a crystal stream, and on both sides was a tree that bare 12 manner of fruit, you know, and the leaves were for the healing of the nations, it says, you know. And what are the leaves? What why would it talk about the leaves? Because that's how you know if a tree's alive or not.
Yeah.
If it ain't got no leaves on it, and it don't get no leaves on it, it ain't alive. It's dead. I experienced that firsthand. We went on vacation one time. I had a big maple tree in my backyard years ago, and it had leaves and everything. When I left, we went on vacation. We come back a week later, and all the leaves had fallen off of it. And I thought, what in the world had happened to this thing? And I happened to have a guy that lived across the street from me. His dad was Myers Landscaping, you know. Or his uncle or somebody was Myers Landscaping. He worked for them. And I asked him, I said, would you come over and take a look at my tree? I said, what's wrong with it? I said, well, my leaves fell off of it. He said, it's got borers. He went over and looked at it. He said, it's got borers in it. And these little bugs had bored into the tree. And they sapped all the life out of it. They killed it. And just that short, it didn't take very long. It was, about a week's time, now the leaves were all falling off, and it was just almost naked when I got back, you know. But it had borers in it, so, you know.
Doesn't take long.
If a leaf, if trees don't have leaves on it, and it doesn't get leaves when it's supposed to, it's dead.
Yeah.
You might as well just cut it down, it was just dead.
Okay, guys, let's go to Matthew 13:7. This is the third kind.
Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them out.
That's all you need there.
Okay.
Oh, is there more on 7? I'm sorry. You're reading a different translation.
That's on thorns.
Okay, thorns. It doesn't say a lot about that, but it's very painful to even hear those words. Those thorns, yuck, you know? Okay, so I think then that...
22. Said, and as for what was sown among thorns, this is he who hears the word, but the cares of the world and pleasure and delight and glamour and deceitfulness of riches choke and suffocate the word, and it yields no fruit.
The Passion says, it doesn't say anything about thorns. It actually says the seed sown among weeds.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that already says something to me. Have you ever seen the roots on weeds?
They're right out the window there.
There'll be a little weed this big out of the top. You just try to pull it out, and it goes down like this. It's all white and gnarly, and it goes down. It's got its tentacles into everything. But the seed sown among weeds represents the person who receives the message, but all of life's busy distractions, his divided heart, and his ambition for wealth result in suffocating the kingdom message and prevent him from bearing spiritual fruit.
Yes, that's good. Cares of the day.
Yeah, a thorn, a bramble, a bush, a briar, a thorny plant. And then, did you read, Brenda, the 22 yet out of?
Mm-hmm. That's what I read when I said, let me read it again. And as for what was sown among thorns, this is he who hears the word, but the cares of the world, and the pleasure, and delight, and glamour, and deceitfulness of riches. Well, that covers everything, doesn't it?
It surely does.
Choke and suffocate the word, and it yields no fruit.
If there's a thing that describes the world we live in today,
that's it.
The deceitfulness of riches. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay, any discussion on that?
Well, I will say this, sometimes we have to realize that as being Christians, if we work and if we have a business or we do anything like that, we have to use the same principles in our workspace and in our business as we use in the church. You know, if you use different principles, because a lot of people will say to themselves who are even Christians, they'll say, but I was successful when I operated a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've actually approached Christians different times to cut people slack that owned property that was rental property and that kind of thing, to cut people some slack. They didn't want to do it. And I had the church help them. you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And but yet, you know, we're using one principle in the world and another principle supposedly in the Christian walk. Well, you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
If you do that, what are you being? You're being a double-minded man.
That's right.
And you're going to be unstable in all your ways.
That's right.
And there is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of, but basically that produce death, you know, produce things that will literally reek of death, you know, and not reek of life. I don't think, I would have had a hard time ever being a real, real successful businessman in the sense of that if I owned a business, I would treat people the way I know they should be treated. I would treat the employees in the way I know they should be treated. You know, a lot of people who have businesses and make a lot of money think that the people that work for them can live on nothing. I was a grievance man and the vice president of a union at one time, and I helped negotiate the contracts, you know. And because steelworkers, your committee gets involved in the negotiations. You actually go in to sit down with the company and you negotiate with them. But you do have a staff representative from the steelworkers who is actually, he's an expert in that kind of stuff, you know. But you also have a say in all that stuff. But anyway, I had a boss come out and try to talk to me in the shop, and this is many years ago, trying to influence me, you know, to basically to take less, you know what I mean? And when he came out to talk to me, he says, you know, he says, Oscar, he says, the company's not making a lot of money, you know, this and that, and all, you know, this kind of stuff. I said, yeah. I said, well, you know, I said, Joe, I said, you know, right now, and this was back during our energy crisis, I said, you know, I said, my gas and electric bill has went up about 75% over what it was because they're saying there's a shortage of all this stuff. Well, I had actually been to some meetings where some senator, they had a senator and a congressman, different ones come in and talk, and they said, there's really no shortage. They said, this is manufactured, you know, they're doing this to get the prices up, you know what I mean? And I mean, he actually said that, because we were talking about natural gas. He said, drive up in Ohio, and he said, go by where the oil wells are, and he said, they're burning it off, because there's so much of it, if they don't, it'll explode. You know, go down to the Everglades and all that, he said, it's seeping up out of the ground all over the place down there, you know? But anyway, I told him, I said, well, our gas and electric bills are going up. He said, well, you know how you handle that, don't you, Oscar? I said, no. I'd like to know. If you can tell me, I'd like to know what you do, you know. He says, well, you buy stock in a gas and electric company. Now, I looked at him and I said, can I ask you a question, Joe? He says, what's that? Where do you get the money to buy stock? I said, if you're having a hard time paying your gas and electric bill, where do you get the money to buy the stock? And his face turned about as red as your shirt there. And he said, oh well, I gotta go, Oscar. I'll talk to you some other time. He left. That was a viable thing for him. He was making a lot of money. He could do that. That made sense, perfect sense to him. He was living in a different world than I was and those guys in the shop. Because we were working from week to week, paycheck to paycheck. When we settled our contract, that first contract, and they did it on every contract that we had, he went out and bought a new car, brand new car, big expensive car. So
from the money he's making off of the
employees. Well, yeah, there you go. I mean, we're not making a lot of money. They can't claim poverty, because if they claim poverty, you can kind of make them open the books, and they won't, no company will do that. They won't open the books and show you, because once they do that, then you know you actually know what they're making, what their profits are. But they won't do that
because they want to pay you.
They want to pay you as little as they can possibly pay you.
And
that's the way of the world out there.
It is.
But now, if a Christian is running a business, he should want all of his employees to make a good living, because happy employees are going to make more money for them,
yeah.
You know. And you know, but the world don't operate like that, see. And a lot of Christian businessmen don't operate like that either, you know. They do the way of the world, you know.
That's true.
So, but... But you know, he didn't know what to say when I said that to him.
Let's see if we can finish this up. Let's do 8. Verse 8, buddy.
Other seeds fell on good soil.
Uh-huh.
And yielded grain, some 100 times as much as was sown, some 60 times as much, and some 30. You want me to go to 9?
Yeah, just that one. That's good.
He who has ears to hear, let him be listening, and let him consider and perceive and comprehend by hearing.
Mm-hmm. All right, then.
Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. Okay,
as
then we got 23.
As for what was sown on good soil, this is he who hears the word and grasps and comprehends it, he indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100 times as much as was sown, in another 60 times as much, and in another 30.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
And the Passion says, as for the seed that fell upon good, rich soil, it represents the hearts of people who hear and fully embrace the message of heaven's kingdom realm. Their lives bear good fruit. Some yield a harvest of 30, 60, even 100 times as much as was sown. And I see that as being even in the business world. They will reap 30, 60, 90, but they might not be dollars. They might be other good things. But the thing that I like about it the most is you have to hear it. You have to understand it. You have to perceive it. You know, it says that he that heareth the word and understands it. Sometimes, and you can't fault this for a person, but God has his plan, you know. But if sometimes you're not hearing the pure word of God in a secular church. Sometimes you're getting, you know, salvation plus. You know, you have to do this, 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 and this, and you have to stop doing that, 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 and that. To prove, you know, and it's not that love connection and that relationship with the lover of your soul, because that, to me, that's the only thing that matters, and that's the only thing that's going to bring spiritual life, not the rules of the saved.
Yeah.
Short, anything? Short.
Well, only thing I'll say there is that. There's basically three realms there. There's a realm of where nothing is really produced. Then it gets to where there's a little bit produced. And then it gets where there's a hundredfold produced. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But even the stuff that's produced on the smaller part, it doesn't last long. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the spiritual aspect of that, it's like the three courts in the temple, or the three courts in the tabernacle in the wilderness. The outer court, which was everybody was invited out there, that would be your 30-fold. The inner court, which was only the priest went there, that was 60-fold. And then the 100-fold was the Holy of Holies, the very presence of God, the Shekinah glory of God, the presence, you know. And you know, when you talk about the 30, the 60, and the 100-fold, you know. So.
I also like.
It's a progression, you know. Yeah. It's a progression.
I was going to say, maybe we should strive for.
Yeah, and it struck me that even if you get to the 30, you said it's not long lasting, 30% success. But what it does is it makes you hungry and thirsty for more. Yes. That's why you don't ever sit and just be satisfied with your walk with the Lord. Right. You always want more. You want more. You want more. You know, and that's why if you can tell if people are really, oh well, I can't tell. I shouldn't say things like that. But in a person's heart, he will always want more of the Lord, more of the kingdom of God, more of the mature presence of Christ in us.
Yeah. Right. Really study to show yourself.
Move on, brother. Move on, sister. This is the moving day.
Greater relationship.
Closer.
I don't know if you guys remember when Benny Cassander came one of the first or second times. He talked about the outer court. You know, you went into the outer court by faith. Mm-hmm. You know, it was vast. Anybody could go in there. Mm-hmm. The second realm was the basic the priests. You know. But even in that court, you had to desire and step into that by faith. Mm-hmm. You had to start believing that you're kings and priests unto God, that He's called you to be a minister, that everyone is a minister who knows the Lord, you know, in that sense, and should be able to do it as the Lord directs them. Mm-hmm. Then that Holy of Holies, he basically was saying, you know, that was a step of faith also. And he asked people, I don't know if y'all remember this, but he actually asked people, you know, are you willing to step into the hundredfold realm? Mm-hmm. You know, and you have to do it by faith. You have to know that you can do that, you know. Well, only the high priest went in there once a year. But Scripture tells us that we're kings and priests unto God. But what's kings and priests? That's what Melchizedek was, Melchizedek priesthood order, you know, and that's where it becomes without father, without mother, without beginning of days, without ending of days.
Yes.
It's an eternal thing, you know, and Melchizedek literally means king of righteousness or king of peace. Well, we've been called to be kings and priests unto God, so that's moving up into that realm too, you know, and that's but it's all done by faith. You have to believe. And you have to move by faith. You have to step in by faith.
And God is no respecter of persons.
No.
If you feel like there's more on that, we can get on it next week. We'll start with that.
Yeah.
The 30, 60, and 100-fold, okay?
Yeah.
Because I think that's a really deep spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mike, would you bless in a word of prayer?
Father, thank you for another opportunity today to, Father, just listen to your word and open our hearts and our minds to what you're trying to say to us.
Yes.
And Father, we just ask you bless the service as we go forward. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes. Amen.